Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am here. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Blessings to you. Taoism, the pearl of China. The Taoists, if you've ever had an acupuncture session, if you've ever investigated the wonder of Chinese medicine, really, if you study the history of Chinese medicine, the Taoists were a group, along with the Confucianists, the Buddhists, the legalists, that evolved Chinese medicine, probably in a larger context than any contributing group. There's a wonderful German scholar by the name of Paul Unschuld, and he wrote a book called Medicine in China. He also wrote a book called Forgotten Traditions in Ancient Chinese Medicine. And when I was in acupuncture school, I had the great, great privilege of studying with Mark Seem out of New York City. And he had what we call a pre-Mao, M-A-O, Mao, the leader, the originator of communist China. He had a pre-Maoian perception of Chinese medicine. What that means is this. When Mao took over China in 1949, the first thing he did was kick out all the Taoists. Now, this is a group that effectively, as Unschuld will go on to explain, evolved Chinese medicine like scientists, not mystics, not esoterics, but evolved it on the basis of cause-effect, on the basis of direct observation, and created in this enormous, comprehensive healing art that contributed over the millennium to Chinese medicine, integrating in with Buddhists, Confucianists, legalists, so on and so forth. But Unschuld, in this book, and if you get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and you go online and do that, get to the pictures, I'm going to show you picture number 24. Picture 24. Medicine in China, A History of Ideas by Paul Unschuld. Unschuld is a German. See, in the 1500s, the Jesuits, off the inspiration of Ignatius Loyola, go forth and set the world on fire, traveled to China. They traveled to India. But China especially, and brought back the Chinese medical tradition to Europe. This was integrated into German medicine sometime in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. And it was this huge, beautiful synthesis of Chinese medicine, of Taoism, and modern electromedicine. Most of what we call holistic medicine today, the stuff that's really worth it, it originated out of Germany. So Unschuld, here, German, University of Munich, translator of the ancient Chinese text, takes his scholarship all the way back to translating the Taoist texts. So not only is he German and a professor, but he learns Chinese, but ancient Chinese, like Sanskrit, like hieroglyphics, like ancient Chinese, really calligraphy. Now, this is where the real Chinese medicine is. If you've ever been to an acupuncturist, a Chinese herbalist, so on and so forth, chances are they don't have a clue about any of this. For reasons I'll explain in a moment, the history's fascinating. For reasons I'll explain in a moment, Chinese medicine, the essence of it, the Taoism, T-A-O-I-S-M, Taoism, it was integrated with other forms. And after Mao threw out all the Taoists when he took over China, what was left of Chinese medicine was a very complicated, arduous, non-energetic perception of what Chinese medicine was. And this is what Unschuld is pointing out in his scholarship. But this is scholarship that comes from an objective researcher. He's not a doctor. He doesn't have a practice. He couldn't, in a sense, care less about who's healing and who's not. He's in love with ancient Chinese scripture, understanding clearly what the contribution of Taoism was. So what I'm going to lay out today for you is Taoist medicine, at least the essences of Taoist medicine, which is synonymous with Chinese medicine, but not the Chinese medicine, which is the acupuncture and the herbs and all the post-Mao, well, relatively speaking, nonsense that you've probably been exposed to, if you've even been exposed to it. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I went to acupuncture school for about a year and a half. Didn't want to finish it. I wanted the essences of it. The needles part of it wasn't attracted to. And the rest of the rigmarole, the bureaucracy, I wasn't attracted to. But Taoism, the principles upon which a brilliant, sophisticated, comprehensive, all-knowing system was designed, it is my passion today, as always. And I bring it to my clients in their healing. But it's not what you think it is. So in a sense, Taoist medicine, the pearl of ancient China, today's show, show 203. Principle number one in Taoist medicine, those guys in the woods who laid it all down for us in ancient scripture. Picture number one, the tendon. The tendon. You have to have a relationship with the tendon to understand the essence of Chinese medicine. And I'm going to say the essence of Chinese medicine. I'm not even going to say Taoism all the time because it is the essence of Chinese medicine. The tendon. Picture number one. You know what your tendon is. Please don't be bored if you're my regular audience. I have to get to the basics a little bit. That tendon is that fibrous, stringy thing down just above your heel bone. That's your Achilles tendon. You've got tendons like that behind the knee. You've got tendons like that on the soft side of your wrist. The tendon is, anatomically speaking, in the superficial sense of the tendon, that which connects the muscle to the bone. And we've talked about tendons in many contexts many times. In the context of regenerative medicine, in the context of you deposing of the symptom that's ailed you for years or the disease that's ailed you for years, the tendon's not just the tendon in Taoism, in Chinese medicine. The tendon is an organ. Now, I'm going to drill that one home all day today and tomorrow. The tendon is an organ. And that organ has special value. And to activate that organ, you've got to do something, and you probably know what it is. You've got to make that tendon flexible. If you don't make that tendon flexible, the tendon, not the muscle, is a difference. That may be another show. Anybody that studies with me knows the difference between the two. Just because, ladies especially, you think that you're flexible doesn't mean you're stretching your tendon. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. Well, that's how superficially the healing arts are taught. Just because you can do the yoga pose or the Pilates pose or the gymnastics pose, just because you can bend your head between your legs or whatever pose in an advanced level you've satisfied yourself with, doesn't mean you're stretching the tendon. Stretching the tendon means you're going to feel that burn in the pose. If you're not feeling that burn into the joint, then the pose is useless, relatively speaking. But when you do, when you stretch the tendon, you feel the body activate. You feel the body shift its weight. Now, the purpose of this, aside from realigning the bony structure, which is a stipulation I would place upon you that your yoga classes, your Tai Chi and Qigong classes won't. But when that tendon burns, in whatever stretch class you're doing, when that tendon burns and it releases and you begin to realign the bony structure, get the shift in your body weight, as I teach it often, something else happens. And to understand that, after you understand the tendon, you got to go to picture number four. Take a look at picture number four. Picture number four is the way it looks when you get dissected. Picture four is the way it looks when they take off your belly, your stomach. If they were to take off the skin of your stomach, you can blow that one up. It looks a little small to me. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vince Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. That's two T's, not .com.cc. Now look at that wonderful picture there. You're looking at that big brown organ, and you've got it. That's the liver. Underneath it, that's the gallbladder. Right center on the picture is the stomach. These are being reflected or pulled up. Underneath it, underneath the stomach, is none other than the pancreas. That's dead center on the picture. It looks like a big piece of cotton candy. Fry that up and eat it. It'll deliver enzymes. It'll eat the fibrin off your tumors. That's what pancreatin does. To the right, that big purple organ holding lots of blood, that's your spleen. You can see across the top, from left to right, the small, the large intestine. That's transverse colon. All that yellow gooey stuff is, you know it, it's fascia. It's the greater omentum, actually. It's another form of connective tissue. It's a special form of fascia. It looks like a lot of moo-goo-foo in there, doesn't it? That's what it looks like on dissection, too. It's a place that's stuffed together with connective tissue. And that's what you are. A posterior abdominal wall, an anterior abdominal wall, and then we stuff you with organs. Those organs are connected to each other by fascia. Here's the point. If you don't stretch the tendon, and if you don't move the bones, if you don't respect flexibility, thus the tendon as an organ itself, as a system itself, as an indice through which you can gauge the efficacy or efficiency of your therapy or your healing, if you don't look at it like that, you won't get to the point where after the tendon gets flexible enough and the bones begin to move, you can pull your organs apart and start to dissolve the fascial adhesions in between the organs. I hope my audience copies on this. Please inspire me today. Someone get on the comment section, and not the regular people. If you always do it, don't. Not that I don't appreciate it, but I know you guys get it. The new people. People that have never heard the show. One out of every three people's new to the show each Saturday. That's a perfect statistic. Two-thirds come back, one-third leave, and one-third replace them. If you're new to the show, get on the comment section and tell me this makes sense to you. Or it doesn't. This sounds like too complicated. Hogwash. Nonsense. The very essence of Taoist medicine. Says if you stretch the tendon, ultimately you'll get to the point where you can begin to separate the fascial adhesions from the organs. That's critical. Why? What's in that fascia? In that fascia is what? In that fascia is the vein perfusing the organ, feeding the organ with nutrient, oxygen, glucose, minerals, vitamins, draining the organ through the venous system, infusing it with a magnetic field of nerve tissue, draining it through the lymphatic system, the microlymph around the cells of the organs, the conduit or the passageway or the medium through which vein, artery, nerve, and lymph flow is the fascial system. The fascial system is connecting organ to organ, organ to bone, bone to bone. And if you can't stretch the tendon, you'll never get to the fascia in between the organs in the abdominal cavity. This is big. It's really big. If you get that, if you really honored that, if you're sick, if you're symptomatic, if you're tired of being sick, if you're diseased, if you're dying, if you're anything, and you get this, this is huge for you. Absolutely huge. Now, to make it work requires some work. But to make it work, even if your discipline requires education, thus the show. So first principle, or one of the guiding principles in Chinese medicine, in Taoism, is the tendon. You worried about your symptom? your tinnitus, your high blood pressure, your heart disease, your cancer, your lupus, your scleroderma, your ankylosing spondylitis, your low back pain, your ulcer, your GERD, your acid reflux. It doesn't matter. I know you understand by now that all these descriptive terms and massive influxes of energy and sophisticated diagnostic techniques don't really matter in the end. What matters are functional concepts. Stretching the tendon is a key concept common to making sure your body heals anything you've got, not your doctor. It's not that your doctor heals it. It's not that you go to the doctor, he gives you medicine, the earth is flat, women shouldn't vote, people should live in slavery, there is no God, God hates us. Think of all the idiocies throughout the centuries. Well, one of them is you heal your body by walking into a relationship, allopathic or holistic, where the practitioner heals you. Nobody heals you. You heal you, guided by principles that you enamor yourself to. The tendon is the big one. So you stretch those tendons. You realign those bones. You pull open the adhesions. That's a layer of healing. Taoism, Chinese medicine, medicine in general, is a layered process. Once you stretch the tendons, you can start to talk to the organs. Once you start to talk to the organs, the bones begin to separate. The bones. The bones of what? Turn to picture number 9. Go to picture number 9. Take a nice look at that. Spinal cord. Your spinal cord consists of 7 cervical vertebrae, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar, and a sacrum. And inside that, more properly speaking, is your spinal cord. Coming out of your brain and stopping, picture number 9 at the conus medullaris at about L2. 2nd lumbar vertebra. That spinal cord's encased by all those bones. 7 and 12 is 19 and 5 is 24. 24 bones. And the sacrum, 25. Now, that spinal cord is covered by dural tissue. And you know that. Picture number 11. Take a look at dural tissue. Beautiful picture of that connective tissue sheath, otherwise known as one of the 3 layers of the meninges, as in meningitis, when a virus or a bacteria inflames it. That meningeal sheath around that spinal cord is also surrounding your brain. Go to picture number 5. Now look at that sheath around the brain. Look at the veins. The author, Netter, puts the veins in that sheath. You can see that. That sheath, that dural tissue around the brain, around the spinal cord, and then ultimately go to picture number 7. Look at that sheath. It separates your brain. Falx cerebrae, cerebral falx. It separates your brain. Look at picture number 6. Your brain sits on it. The dural tissue surrounds the brain and the spinal cord. It holds tension. It's responsible for the shift energetically in your body that you're going to need to heal on a deeper level, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, biochemically, you name it. You got to get there. You can't unless you address the tendon. unless you address the tendon and get flexible, and get flexible to the point where the organs pull apart. Unless you do that, you won't get to the dural tissue. But once you do, there, look at it. You understand? These understandings were laid down in Taoism in different words. Jing, G-I-N-G, Jing. Jing level, core level, Wei level, W-E-I level, the Wei, W-E-I level, as the Taoists understand it, is when you work very superficially by loosening your body up and benefiting from all the things that would loosen that level up. The Ying level is the organ level, and the Jing level is when you get to the dura, when you get to the deeper layers of your structure. So that dural tissue surrounding your brain, surrounding your spinal cord, cleaving your hemispheres, and laying a bed upon which your brain sits. Go to picture 8. Go to picture number 8. Look at picture number 8. Now, collectively, if you're looking at picture number 8, you're looking at the back side of the brain. You're looking at through the back of someone's head. And you can see that dural tissue on the top. You can see it cutting down the center. And you can see it cutting across on the bottom. Falx cerebrae, tentorium cerebelli, and the dural tissue in general. That's dividing your brain and splitting your brain. It's around your brain. It's around your spinal cord. When you start connecting to that, it pumps your brain. It pumps your brain. That dural tissue is a tight sheath around your brain. It pumps the brain. Why do you want your brain pumped? Why do you want to take a release, a stretch, a chiropractic adjustment, an acupuncture adjustment, an osteopathic adjustment? Why do you want to take those so deeply into your body that they pump your brain? We'll take a look ultimately at why we want to pump your brain. Take a look at picture number 20. Picture number 20. The ventricular system. That's where the cerebral spinal fluid is made. That cerebral spinal fluid is going to go all through your brain. It's the lymph of your brain, all through your brain, down your spinal cord and back up. That cerebral spinal fluid, as the dura pumps your brain, also helps, go to picture 13, it also helps to separate the bones of your skull. There's picture 13. There was a time when this was not really respected, that the sutures between the cranial bones had motion. At the turn of the century, this was an argument between English and Italian anatomists, the Italians saying that the sutures moved and the English saying that it didn't, the English, of course, being infinitely more rigid than the Italians. And their perspective in anatomy reflected it. Absurd that there would be any motion between the sutures of the cranial bones. Of course, today we know that there's much ado about this. Of course, the Taoists, going back many thousands of years, understood this through their experience. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever felt the inside of your brain light up? Have you ever felt that your face was changing shape? Now, these are all done subtly. We're not talking about a science fiction film. We're not talking about the Hulk. But we are talking about sensations internally. Some of you would swear that this has occurred to you in prayer, and for some of you, certainly it has. Some of you have had chiropractic adjustments. Some of you have had acupuncture treatments. Some of you have had cranial adjustments. Some of you have gotten this through Groff breath work, through any breath work. Babies live this way. The skull of the baby is soft. The posterior fontanelle, known as lambda, also known as wavelength. It's the light point. Infants live this way. Taoists train their body to softness as they aged. The purpose of life was to become soft and flexible and supple, all the way to the bones. There's a great payoff for that. There's multiple payoffs for that. But the concept is if the tendon softens, the fascia softens, the dura stretches, the dura pumps the brain, and the cranial bones are further persuaded to separate. And once they separate, the ventricles of the brain begin pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping. Go to picture 17. Why do they pump? Why do you want the physical experience of a pumping feeling in your brain? Your animals do it all the time. Your cats and dogs do it all the time when they yawn. They're doing it all day long. Your infants do it all day long. I mean, look at the parody there, the travesty, the tragedy. Look at the irony of all the people in all the places in all the countries lined up for medical treatment. And nobody's thinking about pumping their brain. That's considered non-science. That's considered absurd. Beware of that. Over 50 years, increasingly, you'll be counseled to vaccinate mandatorily. You'll be counseled to cut your organs out due to genetic profiling. Pretty soon, we'll put a little microchip in your wrist and make your transactions at the post office and at the supermarket easy. Don't you feel it's coming? Don't you? Well, look at the statistics. And if you don't get into the statistics, just use your common sense. I don't see a whole bunch of us getting healthier. I do see lines being drawn. I do see some of us getting much smarter. Be one of those people that gets much smarter and understand that what I'm laying down here is a time-honored tradition. We could switch this rant to Vedic medicine, because they're saying the same thing, ancient Egyptian medicine, ancient Roman medicine. We could talk about Galen. Galen understood this. Pythagoras understood this. Descartes understood picture 17 as the pineal gland, the seat to your soul. Those of you who pray, those of you who recite scripture, do you take it literally? Did Jesus rise from the dead? Or is that just a myth? Did Moses live to 900? I take it literally. I think you take it literally. Then why wouldn't we really investigate writings and teachings that say things like, well, Descartes, that the pineal gland is the third eye and the seat of the soul. Why won't we go that way? I think we should. I think if you do, you start to find that great fusion between science, hard science, and enlightenment. And then I think things fall into place. I think then you can understand science, the essence of science, reducing mysticism to science, leaving more mysticism. We will never know everything. There'd be no fun. To say that we'd know everything is to say we're God. It's okay to be godlike, isn't it? Wasn't that the point and sense of the show last week? Jesus has risen. Are we not born in his image? Well, that means explore. But never think you are the replacement. Don't cross that line. If you stay steadfast in your path, you'll never feel you're the replacement, because you can never feel all-knowing. But you will go to your grave and beyond your grave, living in a state of delirious mystery and euphoria at all the newness of this journey. Now, that's what they should be giving you at Kaiser in your physical exam, what I just said. Wow. That's a launch, isn't it? That's a launch. Ask yourself, what did they give us the skin of the brain for, the dural tissue? Ask yourself. Look at this pineal gland. Look at it. Picture number 19. Picture number 19. Left-hand side, you'll see third ventricle, the pulvinar, and the pineal gland. Look at the complexity. Look at the awesome sophistication of just a tiny little section of your brain, and look at that pineal gland. That is what Descartes called the seat to the soul. That pineal gland is pumped by the third ventricle, which is pumped increasingly by the ventricular system, which is pumped increasingly by the dural tissue, which is pumped increasingly as your tendons become flexible. So what are you concerned about symptomatically? Those of you who are listening to the show and saying, well, what does this have to do with my back pain, my tinnitus? I hope you get my point. Somebody tell me you get my point. That point is everything. We've got to put something down on the table to compete with the fact that people cut their organs now out of their bodies based upon genetic testing. We've got to bring something to the table to counter the fact that soon, perhaps, vaccines will be mandatory. We've got to do something, and it better be more than chiropractic adjustments and needles and nutritional supplements. We got to go deeper on this because it's all there. So what happens is that pineal begins to vibrate as the superior colliculus tintillates it. It lights up. Picture 17, it lights up. Look at picture 18. The Waking Times, obviously a conspiratorial nonsense paper. Not the Los Angeles Times, not the New York Times, not Time Magazine, not Newsweek. Nothing in this could be anything even close. This is just the National Enquirer. The pineal gland, our third eye, the biggest cover-up in human history. Go on Google. Millions of entries on this gland. It starts with your tendon. That's what they were after. That's what the Taoists are saying. Get there. Get there, get there quick. Now, something even more compelling, something even more startling, something even more fascinating. If you get there, you'll finally get to the point where you can make your bones soft. Okay, picture 13 when the cranial bones, picture 15 when the cranial bones begin to separate. Yes, indeed. As those bones begin to separate, you will feel more and more vibrant. No doubt. Impossible not to feel an improvement as those bones separate increasingly. What will that feel like to you? It just feels like health. Simplicity. But there will come a point where the bones begin to soften. I mean your femur. I mean your sacrum. I mean your pelvis. I mean your rib cage. I mean your cervical spine, your thoracic spine. I mean the joints between all those vertebral segments. And this is when we start to get into activating stem cells. That is not a myth. That is not a myth. Do you really think they just gave the Nobel Prize to Sir John Gurdon and his Japanese colleague? I don't know if they collaborated or worked independently. Look at picture number 32. Take a good look at picture number 32. Sir John Gurdon and Shinya Yamanaka. Yamanaka's in his 50s. Gurdon, I think, is in his 70s. Brilliant men. They took skin cells. We're not talking about babies. We're not talking about babies, infants, taking fetuses, pulling the stem cells, the omnipotent stem cells, and turning them into whatever. No, we're talking about they took your skin. Skin on that guy there in the cab. That fat guy over there that had some skin to give you. They took his skin. And they made stem cells, meaning from his skin they made cells to inject to grow organs. If you take a stem cell, that's what a stem cell is. It's a cell that can become whatever it wants. Now, there's qualifications about that statement, but the pluripotent stem cell can become many things. And then he got the Nobel Prize for it because now we can harvest it easily and inject it and grow organs. They're working on it. They're going to succeed at it. Personally, I think that's beautiful. I really do. I love science. I love it. If you have the perspective on it. But there's an arrogance in it. There's a fundamental arrogance in science. Yeah, it's there. If you talk to the pharmaceutical chemists, if you go on the inside and watch the way they interact with each other, there is no God in their day-to-day. There is no respect for it. There's no integration. If they go to church on Sunday, fine, but it's got nothing to do with the job on Monday. The choices, decisions, the perspectives rendered in the guts of science, Gurdon's science, Yamanaka's science, are void of the spiritual. And that's the issue. There will be payback for this. Bad payback for us. But that aside, I love the science. It's fascinating. What fascinates me even more is this. Go to picture number 26. Look at picture number 26. Picture number 26 is a book written by a guy named Mantak Chia. Mantak Chia, of course, is a Taoist. He's Thai. He's from Thailand. He made an absolute splash in the holistic market because he was the real thing, is the real thing. And look at the book, Iron Shirt Qigong, Revitalize Your Bone Marrow. The bone marrow has been of interest for thousands of years to all those concerned with longevity. Oh, yeah. I took a bone marrow Qigong class. I know what that's about. Here's my point, and don't find me edgy here. I sincerely submit to you. Usually, it's the blind leading the blind. It's just empty words. The physical experience of having your bones get soft, the physical experience of actually being able to manipulate by isolating tendons and therefore bony structures to the point where the bones bend, to the point where you can feel the magnetic field course through your bone, the very essence of Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu. Look at picture 27. Look at picture number 27. That dude's in shape. Duck. Truly. Really duck. If in fact that guy's coming down the track. That guy is flexible in his tendons. That guy is moving chi through his bones. That guy is born with a high genetic integrity. That guy will live a long time. That guy is taking those steel rods, and they do certain types of percussive work. They brush your bones. They poke your bones with those steel shards to stimulate the bone. It's one of the exercises of bone marrow qigong. Now, in yoga, you don't do that. Well, I guess the yogics don't know anything about bone marrow and staying young indefinitely or for a much longer time. Of course, every culture does this in different ways. In different ways. Believe me, by the time the halo was on the head of the saint, that saint's bones were soft. The Christian halo, no two ways about it to me, was suggestive that at least the early Christians partook of rituals, of ways of life, benefited from ecosystems long since gone on the Earth planet that allowed them to electrify themselves in the name of the Lord. And if this was done with real sophistication, the halo would appear. I can't help but think, no, the halo is simply just kind of, you know, some artist's imagination. And one artist did it way back, what year? 200, 300, 400 AD. And another artist said, you know, I'm going to swipe that. That's a really cool thing to do. And from that point on, all the artists, when they did their renditions of the Christian saints, put halos on their head. It became a symbol. Remember Robert Langdon in The Da Vinci Code? Remember Robert Langdon in Angels and Demons? Ronnie Howard's flick? Dan Brown's novel, right? The Da Vinci Code? Robert Langdon was a symbologist. Symbols are big deals. Symbols are really big deals. There is more transferred in a symbol. Essences are transferred in symbols. You put the entire volume in a symbol, an insignia, so that only the soul can decipher the essence. It's the purpose of a symbol. No. Spell it out to me in black and white. It's not the way it works. Think of your chosen profession. Think of your chosen profession, your contribution. Think of where you've put your life in terms of your talents. And think of how knowledge is transferred relative to your active service. It's never black and white. It can't be black and white. And that's the point. Health, the real essences of health are put into symbols. There is great symbolism in certain words. But the symbolism escapes English. Tendon doesn't mean anything in English. But if you go back to ancient Chinese medicine, if you go back to Aramaic, if you go back to Sanskrit, if you go back to hieroglyphic, if you go back to ancient Greek, then all of a sudden words tell stories. And this is the point. So as that bone softens, and you begin to bend bone, you begin to really learn what the bone marrow can confer upon you. Now let's just take from the science standpoint, let's take bone marrow. Let's go to picture 29. Bone marrow. Inside the bone marrow, you produce lots of different cells. You produce red blood cells. You produce macrophages. You produce basophils. You produce eosinophils. You produce lymphocytes. You produce T lymphocytes. Natural killer cells. You produce the root, the base, through which many different types of cells are made. And that's why in the bone marrow live the stem cells, because that stem cell of the bone marrow has to deliver itself under control of the hypothalamus into whatever bunch of cells are needed. You use more lymphocytes, the bone marrow makes more lymphocytes. You use more red blood cells, the bone marrow makes more blood cells. How this is done, how those signals are transmuted in the body, we will be working on that another 100,000 years. We have no clue. This is mediated through the autonomic nervous system with its centers up in the hypothalamus, in the pineal, in the pituitary. We have no idea. How does the body really know that it needs to make more red blood cells versus more white blood cells versus more macrophages versus more eosinophils versus more T lymphocytes versus more B lymphocytes? How does the body know? We don't know. And we're probably never going to get the money to find out. But we know it does. We can observe it. You see, that's the arrogance of science. We know because of the beauty of science this occurs, but we don't care. We're not sitting there going, how does it know? There's no money in that. There's no funding in that. If you take a grant and you send it to the National Institute of Health saying, you know what, my name is Joe Smith. I got a master's degree in molecular biology. I need some money for my doctorate to figure out how the body knows to take the bone marrow and make this cell versus that cell versus the other cell. Because I know, because Medici told me on his show, that this choice is made somewhere up in the hypothalamic autonomic centers of the brain. And they're going to tell you, take a walk. And yet, we can observe it. So we know it's true. We know the body regulates with an intelligence. And then we make cool words like the biochemical intelligence of the body, the innate intelligence of the body. But we stop there. That's where the arrogance lives. So you have to exceed the arrogance of science and replace it with the wisdom of the soul. And understand that there's something huge about the bone marrow. Now, go to one of my past shows, look it up on the list. Go to the website straighttalk.cc. Go to that list and look up any show I did on stem cells or regeneration of organs. Anything with those titles. And what you're going to find is citations, articles that basically say, after you have a heart attack, when you have an injured low back, when you have a torn disc, when you have an autoimmune disease, when you have an inflammatory process, when you have a fibrosis in an organ, your body, out of the marrow of the bone, will send stem cells to it. On top of which there are stem cells, adult stem cells, in the organ itself that are looking to activate. That is what the Taoists, who laid down the foundations of Chinese medicine, are trying to tell you. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Whatever you have going on, anything from A to Z, from soup to nuts, give my office a call and come on in and take the journey. Make the appointment and take the journey. Not get the herb, not get the quick fix, but go on the journey. Because the journey will deliver you. The perspective will deliver you. 714-850-1007. That is what the Taoists are talking to you about. That's what Vedic scripture is talking to you about. That is what any system of medicine that respected God is telling you. The centers are already there. Go find them. The centers are already there. Go find them. Activate them. And then scientists study stem cells that are traveling from the bone marrow to the site that they're needed, the damaged organ, the deranged joint, the problem in your brain, to try to repair it, as stem cells do. So we come along and we give the 2012 Nobel Prize to two brilliant scientists for pluripotent stem cell, when the systems are already there. But you have to know how to get there, which means you have to go on the journey. You can't walk in saying, give it to me. You see, we keep trying to quick fix this. It's amazing. I don't know what it is. I guess it's human nature. I guess I'll have to accept it. It's amazing how we could know this. And every single time something runs amok, we go right to the quick fix. And we just keep going to the quick fix. And then we keep changing the quick fixes. We keep hoping. And then we say, well, I had a lady this week say, but we just don't know. But we're just desperate. How can you be that desperate when the information is there? What we've been is imprinted. We've been imprinted. Honestly, I don't really see how much different we are than slaves on a certain level. Get up at 5, get to work at 7, 2 hours of traffic, 7 to 6, 2 hours to get home, a little food, a little sleep. We get up Saturday for chores, Sunday for church, back to Monday. That's where we're desperate. We're slotted in so deep we can't take the time to go on the journey. And this is the issue. If you could, if you did make your bones soft, if you did start to stimulate your own stem cells, well, look at picture 30. Picture 30, potential uses of stem cells. Stroke, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, missing teeth, wound healing, bone marrow transplantation, spinal cord injuries, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. I didn't say toenail fungus, so I guess stem cells don't help fungus. Deafness, blindness, baldness, ALS, myocardial infarction, muscular dystrophy, diabetes. I rest assured, I rest you assured, science is going now. Science is going over the next 50 years. I assure you the game will be cut out the organ because it's genetically predisposed and grow a new one. Grow a new one. Go in there and fix the defect. Tamper with the very essence of creation. I still love it. You can't stop science. You can't stop genetic profiling. You can't stop vaccinations. What you have to do is understand where the line is. You got to plant that line firmly in the ground and make sure it's not crossed. Then you can integrate it. Perhaps that is what God wanted. Did God not want us to understand science? Did God not want Gurdon and his partner there, his colleague, to take the 2012 Nobel Prize? Is that the point? Let's go backwards. Didn't we call that the Dark Ages? Did God want the Dark Ages or the Renaissance? Did God want the Renaissance or the computer industry, the computer age? That you can Google up something and get 15,000 pages of literature on any subject in 15 minutes. Did God not want that? Is that where the devil is? Of course not. It's in the interpretation, you see. And the interpretation, which is where you draw the line. Where do we cross the line from the man-God to God-God? And that's the point. And you see this mistake being made all the time. Why focus so much at the expense of having the public live ignorant to the fact that if the bones were softened, we would see healings abound? And that is very, very much the point. It's like Ignatius Loyola said, with knowledge, picture 33, with knowledge, picture 33, go forth and set the world on fire. That's how I see medicine. That's how I see the purpose of holistic medicine, to bring illumination to God-given centers and integrate that. Make the great fusion of that with the scientific technology. Now that's common sense. Look at picture number 23. Picture 23, Kung Fu or Taoist medical gymnastics. Kung Fu or Taoist medical gymnastics. You know what they're talking about? Clean the blood, stretch the tendon, open the fascia lines, soften the bones, stimulate the stem cells, and shift consciousness. And then you'll know God. You'll have the experience of God. It won't be God from the neck up. It'll be God interfacing with your entire being so that the hole in the sky opens and you're given guidance through higher centers. So that the seat of your soul, so that your third eye begins to make choices, Monday morning choices, with a greater wisdom. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. No place will you hear it straighter. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.